time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. How's it going, everybody? Back for a show on this 4th of July week. I'm not even sure when we're airing this thing. Depends on when everyone can pull away from the cookouts and get this online. But we don't stop. Holidays, we don't care. We'll work around them. And it's a good thing because today we're going to have our three or four times a year appearance from Tom King. Tom King, Nashua Telegraph's own sports writer extraordinaire, knows everything about the Granite State there is, and he gives us his spot-on, thorough analysis of what went down in the Granite State for high school sports in the spring season. Gives us even a little flavor of summer and a little flavor of fall even. Exciting stuff with Tom, and we'll probably catch up with him in like a 6 weeks, 8 weeks, see what happened in the summer, anything cool. And then, of course, around Thanksgiving time where we catch up on when it went down in the Granite State in the fall, because we know the Merrimack Valley has one eye, maybe a half an eye, looking up towards the Granite State, what's going on. A lot of Valley kids, you know, go to those schools up there, whether it's, you know, the privates like a Bishop Girton and Nashua or what have you. And some good news out of Girton, too. Tom will tell you all about it. So let's not waste any more time. We're going to, after the show, just poke around a little bit in the Valley, see what's happening in this early summer for sports. But for now, take a break. Get on the line with Tom King.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro. We're back at it. We return our trip north, as we do three or four times a year, to catch up with the guy just over the border, Tom King, sports writer, Nashua Telegraph. Tom, tell me everything.
Oh God, it's too much. Where do I start?
Yeah, you know? I know.
This was the busiest spring. You know how busy it was, Dom, because I even reached out to you for help.
And I had to turn you down because I was hovering over Vegas, having a good time.
Yeah, believe me, I saw that. I go, oh, I'm in the wrong line of work here.
Patron to Vegas, yep.
But, it was the spring tournament. Spring season is a
yeah.
You know, it's crazy in itself because you've got so many sports in a short amount of time. And there's a lot of sports. So winter's different because, all right, there's skiing, there's other things that aren't exactly, you know, you don't get calls on them every night and everything else.
Right.
Spring, they're all playing the same days. They're all playing, you know, You could have 40 games in the area in a day, as many as. And you're lucky if you'll get 20 to 25 results. But when it comes to be tournament time, it's not open tournaments. There's a 70% rule. But this year, for some reason, some of the underdogs locally advanced as far as the semifinals and finals. And we're talking 11, you know, we're talking, okay, 15 teams, 14 teams make the tournament. We're talking 10 and 11 seats, 10th seed, 11th seat. We're talking way down the pole. You know, National and North baseball, 8-10 regular season. They almost made it to the finals. They were one hit away. Bishop Gurton softball, above 500, 10-8, went on a tournament run, made it to the finals.
So how do they have a team make it 8-10 record? How does that work? How do they get in the tournament?
70% rule. Not, and the 70% is not you have to win 70% of your games. It's you got to finish in the top 70% of the standings.
Okay.
So they were a 13th out of 14 seeds.
Okay.
They were next to last seed.
Okay, gotcha.
And you know, they had a couple of good pitchers and one good reliever, very good reliever, who was a freshman.
Nashville
North. You know, and you've heard of Pinkerton Academy. I mean, they dominated everything. Well, they almost beat Pinkerton here. The thing is, too, the semis, Holman Stadium in Nashville was the neutral site, but North made it to the semis. So they had basically a home field for the semifinals.
They played their regular season, or they
played their semi-pro team, right? So They the high schools use it a lot in the regular season in the spring, and then they the Silver Knights, the Wooden Bat Collegiate League team, they don't start until the end of May, but they'll intertwine, you know, they'll cross paths a little bit, but not much. But this was it was an amazing run. You know, they won, you know, two tournament games on the road, and that got them to the semis.
Wow.
You know, that's all you have. You don't have to do much.
Yeah.
You know, you have to win those games, preliminary round and a quarterfinal round. But Nashville North, coached by Zach Harris, did it. And they just had a fantastic, you know, they had a group that I thought, I don't want to say underachieved, but they were, I thought they were a better team than 8-10.
Yeah.
And
clearly.
Yeah. You know, clearly the way they played, and boy, they got a lot of support. A lot of people around the state were amazed at what they did, and they had quite a following, and kind of brought the city together a little bit, high school wise. And even when it's north south, you had some south people at those games, at that game too, of the semifinals. Hmm. It was just a little over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you said one hit away. They
were one hit away. They had been on base and a couple of times, and they just needed that one hit. They were down 3-0. So you say, okay, this is, you know, nice run, you know, but, you know, Pinkerton's really good. Well, they rallied, took a 4-3 lead. And then Pinkerton tied it in the bottom of the fifth or sixth, and they went extras, 9 innings. Game lasted 9. Yeah. So, and Pinkerton won it in the bottom of the ninth because I think, I don't want to say they did. I think they stayed with the reliever, their freshman reliever, too long. And just one inning too long. They thought about taking him out, and he talked his way into staying. He said, I'm not coming out. And they said, you know what? We're going to, you know, we lived to die by you all tournament. We'll stick with you. I can see that.
He's like 14 years old.
Yeah. Give up. Yeah. And looks it, you know, he's tall, but he's scrawny.
Yeah.
Gave up a leadoff double, and that set the stage. So leadoff double.
Pinkerton, is that the kid that with the big, awesome athlete, the Marshall kid? Is it?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Jackson Marshall. Yeah. He didn't do much in that game.
Okay.
He did not do much in that game, but they did go on to win the state championship. They beat Exeter and they routed them in the finals.
Oh, okay.
So, but what happened was in the national game, you know, leadoff double, bunt to third, and then sack fly.
Oh, second. What an exciting ending. A big pop fly. Was it any close to a play at the plate or probably not?
No, not really. No. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Not much you can do there.
No, there isn't. But still, it was one of those tournament stories that just, I mean, we've seen it in college basketball, March Madness, right? When an underdog goes all the way,
yeah,
you know, to the Final Four or to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, you know, Loyola Chicago, yeah, all that.
They all latch on. St. Peter's.
Yeah, they all latch on. Same thing here, you know, and it captivated the city.
Who was it this year? The guy that hit the three-pointers, Goki, his name was, or something like that. Yeah, yep. they only won like one or two games, but they were exciting too. Yeah.
Right.
Who they were?
So that's how that worked. But on Championship Saturday, my area had 5 championship games
on the same day, involving
6 local teams, because 2 were playing each other.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That was the one I wanted you for.
That's right. Yeah, you're like, man, I need some bodies here. What can I do? Oh,
boy, do I. I needed anybody. No offense, Don. You have a pulse. I needed anybody with a pulse.
Throw me out there.
You know? So I managed to pull it off. Okay. So
you had live human beings at each game.
The night before on Friday night, I covered a Silver Knights game at Holman Stadium, and I asked their guy who sends out their releases if he was available, because I knew the team was going to be on the road. He goes, no. He said, but so-and-so may be, and another guy in their department. And he was more than willing to do work. So
you needed 4.
The other problem, Don, was that in the past couple of years, to alleviate the flow, the NHIAA, the governing body for, you know, this is, you know, New Hampshire's answer to the MIAA. With far fewer court cases, they had boys lacrosse on Sunday. They would have the boys lacrosse final on Sunday, separate from everything else, and put it in one place with 3 divisions. So you had 3 championship games in one venue.
Yeah.
Well, that venue was Exeter High School, and they were not going to be available on. They did not want to have their facility available on Sunday. They would not have anybody available. So, but they offered one game on Saturday. They would only do one game because they had a graduation in the morning. So they could not have the facility for the whole day. And, you know, it caused a lot of problems media-wise, because what they did was, okay, they moved the lacrosse to Saturday, but had 3 championship games in different locations all at the same time. And when we're talking different locations, we're talking, one was at Stella Stadium in Nashua. That was Division II. My area had no one in that. The other was Division III. We did have a team in that, and that was in Laconia.
Way up there.
Bank of New Hampshire Stadium. And then Bishop Girton played the Division I game, and that was at Exeter. But all at the same time, 5 o'clock. So you see the problems that would cause, because you had softball finals, 4 divisions, baseball finals, 4 divisions.
Yep.
And boys volleyball, 1 division. And I had 2 local teams playing in that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the other problem is the venue locations. None of them were close. So in other words, they weren't close to each other where you could hop from one to the next to the next.
Right.
The times didn't work out. The locations did not work out. The other story of the spring of the tournament season was the other low seed, Bishop Girton. And they were, I believe, a 10th seed or 11th seed. They won an upset win on the road. They beat Timberlane at Plastow in the first in round one, Mr. Girton softball. And then they, and what happened, and we've seen this before, there was an upset in the other bracket, but the team they would have played, Concord, in the quarterfinals, they lost in the first round as well. To a 14 seed. So Bishop Girton got to host Portsmouth, play at home in a quarterfinal, that was going to be a win. You know, not only did they get to play a quarterfinal, they got to play it at home against a low seed team.
Yeah.
And they won that game 3-0. It was a ironically, it was their closest game.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of their closest games. Then they knocked off number two, win a cut it in the semifinals. But those semis and finals, and they ended up losing in the title game to Londonderry, which was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
They got mercy ruled. But it still was a great run for that program and its at first year head coach there. And the finals are Plymouth.
Wow.
Division one is no one in spitting distance of Plymouth.
That's crazy.
And they got everybody hauling up there because they can't get another venue.
Yeah.
And Plymouth has two facilities. They have two softball facilities. I don't know why softball is so big up in Plymouth, but they got two big fields.
Yeah. Nuts.
Yep.
All over the map in the Granite State you were.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't go to Plymouth. I went to see Sauhegan in the baseball finals against Bo, which is the, for those who don't know where Bo is, it's basically a suburb of Concord.
Yeah.
They built their own school. Oh, I don't know, about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The Bo Falcons. And they won the state baseball title. They beat Sauhegan. Luckily for me, that game was at 10 a.m. at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium in Manchester.
My neck of the woods.
They use the big park. They use the AA park for the finals. They have the semis in Nashville and the finals in Manchester.
Yeah.
So one game after that's they do it right. One game after another, 10, 1, 4, and 7.
Yep.
So that was Sauhegan lost that. That was a lopsided loss, 13-3. Bishop Gurdon beat Bedford in a long-awaited rematch. It was a great regular season game. Bedford almost beat them in double overtime, ending which would have ended their in-state winning streak. And then, but they didn't. They fell short. Sudden death overtime in the second overtime.
Yeah,
and then so everybody's all geared up and amped up for the title game. And you know what? Gurdon was up 3 goals and Bedford came back and long story short, with about 11 minutes left, the game was tied at 10 and Gurdon just pulled away.
15-12 looks like, right?
Yeah. That was the regular season game. The final was, I believe 15-11 or 14-11. I'm not sure.
No,
15-12.
I'm on the great NHIA
website. They do a good job on that website. It's not bad, but 15-12. I thought you said 13-12. That was the sudden death season game. But Bedford just couldn't win. Gurdon had a fabulous face-off guy, and he won all but three.
Yeah.
And one was on a call and the other were just turnovers. So you win that many faceoffs, you should win the game. And they did.
Yeah.
And that's why.
That's too bad. It could have been a sweep for you, right? If Bishop Gurdon girls pulled it off against Portsmouth.
If they had pulled it off against Londonderry, they would have won. That would have been that one. I would have lost. Baseball was already lost.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting two champions out of the five.
Yeah.
So that's how that worked out. Yeah. Because we were guaranteed one in volleyball. Hollis Brookline, telling you, this team, they have the mantra of regular season is just to practice. We make the tournament. That's when the regular games start. That's their coach's philosophy. He never worries about a regular season loss. They lost 4 matches during the regular season, including the one against Sauhegan. They played Sauhegan again in the finals, and they beat them in straight sets.
Yeah, they only lost one game the whole time, like, you know, during the whole tournament run to Dover.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they were Hollis Brookline, Ed Leonard, and that was Ed Leonard's final season as coach. They talked him into one more year after he thought he was done last year. And he goes out a three-peat, three straight titles.
Amazing.
You know? Yeah. You know, and Hollis Brookline is a big volleyball school. Their girls program was a dynasty until Bedford really got good. And that Bedford is now the dynasty in Division One girls volleyball. Yeah. So, but Hollis Brookline's got a really good volleyball foundation, both with boys and girls.
Geez, the NHAIA Twitter handle, they got to update themselves. So good luck in the Lacrosse Boys State Championships. That's all that's their most recent tweet.
Yeah, they shut down. I mean, they're not going to have much over. They won't tweet anything over the summer. So,
yeah.
I mean, they'll open up for business in August again, I think, pretty much.
Right.
That's how, you know, I'm sure they reduce the hours and everything for the staff and everything else. Everything will really start. We'll get an email from them soon to say, okay, we're going to have our media meeting, which I never go to because I'm usually off then. Because I usually try to take the week off before the first week of fall season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fall season in New Hampshire starts August 28th, 29th.
Okay.
So they start early up here.
Yeah.
So football will be September the 6th.
But for your area, Tom, I feel like, you know, our conversation around Thanksgiving and then our conversation in mid-March or so, I feel like your area kind of like woke up a bit. I mean, you've had some appearances in the semis, maybe even state final, but this was like an onslaught for you.
Oh, this was, yeah. I mean, the winter time was kind of, in the winter time, the only real final title game team we had was Nashua North, made it all the way to the boys basketball finals. That captivated the city a little bit too, but they lost to Pinkerton in the finals. That was really it, you know. In the fall, you know, we don't have no football teams. Well, yeah, it was one football team in a title game.
Yeah,
and you know, we're usually. It's rare in some times, Dom, that we don't have a team in a state championship game in some sport.
Yeah.
Usually in this area. I've got 10 schools. One of them is usually pretty good and, you know, and may make it all the way to the finals. But this spring was the most. We hadn't had a team reach the semis in Division One baseball, a local team, in about 8-9 years.
Wow.
So it'd been a while.
Yeah.
You know, Hollis Brookline had been, they were back-to-back baseball champions, and that's in Division II. So we've had other divisions, but nothing in the big schools. And lacrosse, that's the other one. Mercifully, they play the girls lacrosse semis and finals a little bit before the other sports.
Okay.
So the finals were the middle of the week before the championship Saturday. They were that Wednesday. So that's a bit of a break.
Yeah.
You know, so we get one sport finished. But once again, they're all at the same time, all at different venues. So you can be strapped media-wise as well. Bishop Gurdon reached the lacrosse finals after being knocked out in the semis last year. But the same team that knocked them out in the semis in 23 knocked them out in the finals in 24. And that was Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So rematch. Portsmouth High School. Yeah. Portsmouth High School, very good team. They moved up from Division II after dominating Division II for years. They moved up to Division I a year ago. I think I thought they were going to win the title a year ago. They didn't. Bedford did. Bishop Gurdon beat Bedford in the semis this year and then lost to Portsmouth, who they lost to by one game in overtime back early in the season, the second game of the year. So they hadn't seen each other since.
Yeah.
And it was just another case of getting out ahead early and maintaining that lead, which if you do that in high school lacrosse, you've got a pretty good shot.
Yeah. Do they kind of mix things, like change their strategies if they do that, like get more defensive and stuff?
I think Portsmouth was getting a little more defensive, and then early in the fourth quarter they said, okay, enough, we gotta get moving, and then they scored a flurry of goals that kind of put the game out of reach.
Yeah. And look at them proving that the move to Division One was the way to go. I mean, two back-to-back state final appearances,
right? And one win, and it's not surprising. You know, they're Portsmouth. They're a city team, right? They, you know, they were down in Division Two and they had built a power. And I think all of Division Two breathed a sigh of relief when they moved up to one.
Yeah.
So, but that was, well, I'll tell you, Championship Saturday, that I've never seen that.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years and the last, you know, and now since I'm being, you know, since I'm kind of alone now and doing it on my own, you know, I'm a one man department.
Yeah.
Kind of lucky the last few years that that hadn't happened, but this year, you know, it happened, and you know, who knows what these teams can do next couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
So see if somebody gets back there, you know, in these finals again. So I think Sal Hegan may be back there. They only lost two seniors in baseball. So I think they may be back there in baseball. I think that Bishop Gritton softball certainly has a chance to go to be good next year.
Yeah.
Those types of things, you know, it's you just never know. It's springtime. You never know in tournament time. The mentality in the spring, of course, Dom, yeah, as you probably can figure, is different, right? The seniors kind of are, there's two ways to look at it from the senior standpoint. Well, you go through the motions, graduate, and get out of here, or we want to go out on top, you know?
Right.
You know, this is our last hurrah. We want to go out on top. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Either checked out or.
you're either checked out by tournament time because you're about to graduate. And that's the other thing with spring. You know, you can never complain about how they. Give me an example of how graduation can interfere with the postseason.
Yeah.
And how difficult it is. So, volleyball semifinals.
Yeah.
Right, boys volleyball isn't exactly that, you know, it's not, you know, that's not the first sport you think of when it comes to the spring, but very popular. And they will pack the stands for a postseason game, you know. It's great atmosphere, loud, and everything else. Well, Nashua has always served as the neutral site. Nashua doesn't have any volleyball, boys volleyball teams, so in North or South. So Nashua has always volunteered to be a neutral site for the semis and finals.
Yeah.
So Hollis Brookline was supposed to play Dover on the Seacoast team, Dover, in one semifinal. Souhegan was playing Wyndham in another semifinal. Yeah. All at the same site, which was going to be Nashua South, one at 5, one at 7. Well, Dover was graduating that day.
Of course.
It was a Thursday. So to accommodate Dover, they moved the semi. They moved it to 3:30,
mm-hmm,
but they also moved it to the seacoast.
Oh.
At Oyster River in Durham. So yeah. Hollis Brookline, which is right down the road from Nashua South, you know, it's you know, you go apple picking. I want to go apple picking in the fall. I go 10 minutes away, right?
Yeah.
The Hollis apple orchards, they're all there. What? They moved it to Oyster River in Durham. So here's this team. They're you know, they're playing another upstart lower seed team in the semis that managed to pull off an upset and get there to the semis. And they get to play 10 minutes away from their school.
Yeah.
While Hollis Brookline's got a traipse all the way across the state. You know, but that's what graduation can
it
do.
Does, yeah.
You know, all the spring activities, academic activities and ceremonies and things like that that these schools have, you know, that interfere, you know, with the tournaments. And it's just that, yeah, it's just that way. And okay, how about moving it to Friday? Because you can play two matches, you know, back-to-back days.
Right.
No, Hollis Brookline's graduation was on Friday, so I couldn't do it then. So, this is crazy. I mean, you got to work your way around a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
you do.
Yeah.
Well, that covers the whole school year. So all told, those two state champions, how many were there total? Was that it? Or did you have a winter and a fall?
We had two state champions in those kinds of sports. In track, we had we didn't have any champions in track, but we had some, you know, individuals and some national North and South always have good speed teams. There was an upset in the shot put. National South kid upset a National North kid in the Division I meet, winning the shot put and discus.
Yeah.
So it was, and they had a good rivalry all year long. Darius Smith was the North kid. He went on to win in the meet of champions, but this Division I meet was a big, he split it with the South kid. So it's always an interesting rivalry. You can do that on track. We had no team champions in that sport. So only two team state champions. And that was, Dallas Brookline volleyball and Bishop Gurton boys lacrosse. Yeah. Two teams that are used to winning it, and they did it again. Yeah. So,
all right. And how about a sneak peek for the, well, first, what keeps you busy in the summer? And then let's do a sneak peek for the fall.
Summertime, I'll have the Nashville Silver Knights playing in the Futures Collegiate Baseball League. They're 12-15 right now. They played 27 games. They play a 64-game schedule. So the situation there is that they need to get back to 500 and get back in the race. They're only a couple of games out of a playoff spot, you know, now. But I mean, the season is a longer season than some of the other collegiate league teams. They'll end their season around August 3rd or 4th. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 2 out of 3 semifinal and a 2 out of 3 final.
Yeah.
That they may adjust if there's rain. Last year, I think they made the final one and done because of rain and rain delays.
Yeah.
Because we remember how rainy last summer was. It was just
right,
ridiculous.
That's right.
Legion is kind of watered down at the senior. The senior level is really the only level I really focused on. I the junior level is nice, but it's kind of like the JV, right? Don't you think?
Yeah. No, they do the same thing in Mass. Yeah, in our area.
Yeah. You know, it's a feeder system, and the seniors are the ones you really want to focus on.
Yeah.
And the Nashville's the only team locally. Mm. There used to be a team in Hudson. There used to be a team in Merrimack. There used to be a team in Milford. All gone. Hudson gone. Milford gone a while ago. Hudson gone last year. Merrimack stunned me. They had to bow out. Jeez. No, you know, no kids, no players. You know, so Nashville's the defending champion. They went to the regionals last year. The regionals were in Worcester. I made five trips, five straight days up and back to Worcester.
And that's New England. It includes all the states, kind of.
Yeah, it's a Northeast regional: Eastern New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island,
yeah,
Mass, and New Hampshire, Vermont. Maine ended up winning it. I think it was Maine. The team that Nashville got knocked out, they lost in the first game to Maine, and then they fought their way all the way back and played Maine again in the finals. And lost in the finals. But they were at around 500 to start the season this year. So they'll make the state tournament. It's an 8-team tournament, but in their district, there's only 5 teams. So it's District A and District B. They're in District B. B only has 5 teams. You got to be in your top 4. So the odds are they'll probably make it. Yeah. So
yeah.
But they'll be, if that's the case, they'll be the only local team in the state tournament this year, and then we'll see if they can pull off a repeat and get back to the regionals, which this year are in your backyard. They're in Manchester.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep.
Are they at Delta Dental?
At Gill Stadium, yep.
Oh, Gill, okay. Yeah.
At Gill, yep.
Gill's a pretty cool little stadium, too. You know, yeah, it's nice. Turf.
That was all done, Dom. That was all done to make way for the Fisher Cats, because they had to play at Gill for a couple of years until their stadium was built.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So
yeah.
they renovated Gill. They put some money into Gill to renovate it and put the artificial turf down in the infield.
Okay, so they made it they made it as minor league ready as they could.
Yes,
and now the city kids are getting the benefits of it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And that was a long time ago. That was almost I would say almost about 20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I drive by all the time, and it's you see a lot of football practices there. You know, they use it, maybe even football games, they use the outfield.
Oh, yeah. Central plays there. Memorial has their own stadium. Central does not. Trinity has their own. So right now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Manchester West has their own. If I'm not mistaken, Central is the only team that uses Gill Stadium now for football.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because they don't have one. Yeah, they're right downtown.
Yeah, and I covered that. They opened up against Alver last year, and I covered that game. Yeah, so
that's the Adam Sandler alma mater.
Central High. Right. Yes, it is. Yep, it is. Yeah. Yep.
And it's a nice stadium. I think the there's an adult team there that plays in the North Shore Baseball League, which is primarily a Massachusetts team league, Salem, Beverly, Peabody,
right,
Danvers. Right. And then there's one or two New Hampshire teams that are good. I think the Knights, maybe. You have the Silver Knights, but
I have the Silver Knights. Yeah,
yeah. That league, it's Kingston. I don't know who it is, but they play at Gill, I think.
Okay.
Manchester something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a useful stadium for sure.
You know, we've got the stadium golf tournament is coming up starting July 8th.
Yeah.
That'll be up in Concord Country Club. So, and then there's another interesting thing we've got right now going on. There's a semi-pro soccer team. I mentioned it once before. The International Soccer Club of Nashua has a team called the Eagles. They play in a nationwide league. It's the United Premier Soccer League. It's nationwide with divisions. So they don't, I don't know if they compete out of state, out of region, if you win your region, but Nashua is in the semifinals of the New England Conference.
Oh, wow.
And they have never made it this far in terms of being able to host a semifinal game. They lost in the semis a year ago. They were on the road to a team down in that played in Revere. So they will be playing, I think, a team from Connecticut on Sunday at 4:30, and they use Riviera University as their home field. So there's always something going on in the summertime.
Oh, it never stops.
I think the deadest week in the summer is the week that leads up to high school football practice.
In August,
In August, early August, and all the tournaments are done, and the kids are getting ready to go back to school or compete for their school teams.
Yeah,
maybe a stray here or there, but that's pretty much is what happens.
Yeah, you start covering August practice. You get ready for mini previews of football, which reminds me, you know, you got a minute and a half here to tell me what excites you possibly about area teams in the fall.
Boy, that's a good question. I haven't even begun to think about that. I think Nashua North is going to be a decent team. I think Nashua South needs to. They've had a lot of youth the last two or three years.
Yep.
It's time for those, you know, for that youth to basically now be seniors, so they could have a very decent team. I think both, and they'll have their. I believe they'll have their quarterback back at South, so that should be very good. Campbell in Division III is always a good team. I think they'll probably be back in the finals. And a team to beat them in the finals last year, Trinity, moved up to Division II. So Trinity in Manchester. So now that opens up a whole new deal. Soccer, it's always tough to tell. Nashua North made it to the soccer semis last year. They could get there again this year. We'll see. I think soccer is always kind of a crapshoot. There's always 6 to 7 teams that could beat each other, and you can get a lot of upsets in soccer because all it takes is one goal, right? You know, you get that one goal and you're in the driver's seat. It's going to be an interesting fall. And it comes on you suddenly because they start in late August when you think, you know, before Labor Day,
right?
They start the non-football sports. Soccer may start before Labor Day. Golf will start, and then after that, the other sports chime in that week, and then that's the first full week of school. And then football, Friday night, September 6th, will be the openers for a lot of teams. So
we'll look at that. NashuaTelegraph.com. Follow him at Telegraph_TomK. Tom, you ran out of time, and you gave us the great scoop once again.
All right, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
If you need help in the summer,
I'll go to Delta Dental for you. All right.
All right. Great.
See you,
thanks,
buddy.
Man.
All right. Bye now.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk is back. That was Tom King. Thank you, Tom. As usual, TK, with the report like literally no one else can. Absolutely not. You got to ask Tom one question every interview, and that is, how do things go? He takes it from there. So we're just going to poke around, see what's going on. You know, it's early summer, so we're looking at what could possibly happen. We got the Nashua Silver Knights, right? You get some Valley Legion baseball, you get softball, travel. You just get a bunch of things that go on and seven on sevens. And before you know it, right, we will be in fall mode, which arguably could be the best time of year. It's like, you know, summer was so hot. And then, well, some of the fall is hot too. Like September, the whole month is arguably, you know, pretty bad. But yeah, it just comes at the perfect time. Football. You had nothing going on in the summer, and then you get to here. But we're going to look around on Twitter, see what's going on. Chelmsford Girls Soccer, at CHS underscore Lions Soccer, so proud of these soccer seniors and the much-deserved awards they received at Senior Awards Banquet. Tajah Bell and Michelle Shoup, Outstanding Individual Performance, McKenna Hughes Leadership Award, and Mary Keohane, AI's on my mind, right? Al Thomas Award. Al Thomas Award. So let's move on. All right. We got at MC underscore athletics, Merrimack College. The clock has struck midnight, and we are now officially part of the at MACC Sports. And that, of course, is your Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. What does that mean for Merrimack? What does it mean for fans? You know what? We'll try to get their AD on the line. Talk about the big move and what it means for area people. And, you know, they've been such a staple around the Valley. So very, very cool stuff. All right, what else is going on in the Valley? A couple more here. All right, we're going to leave Twitter because nothing has happened on this July 1st day of this recording. But I just want to make one note of one more piece of news. Julia Malowitz and Bridget Gaffney. Bridget of North Andover and Julia of Central Catholic. The co-winners there of the Softball Players of the Year for the Eagle Tribune. Great seasons. Congratulations, girls. And by the way, Julia Malowitz, she was a Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month, and she will be on the show next week. We already got that recording done. She's heading over to Sicily, and she's probably going to be listening to the show from there. So stay tuned for that in our second show in July. All right, that covers it. Thanks, Tom King, once again. Thanks for all our sponsors. Stay cool out there, folks. See you next week in the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk.